Hey, is God with everybody all the time, or is he just more with some people than others? Tune into the next More Faith, More Life podcast, and I'll explain that to you.
You were made for more than the status quo. I'm Pastor Steve Gray, and this is the More Faith, More Life podcast. This podcast is for Christians with an ambitious heart who want to be more for their family, do more with their career, and see more of God's promises in their life. I've spent many years as a worship artist, minister, nonprofit leader, bold truth speaker, and most importantly, father and spouse. When I was in my early 40s, I was craving more, from God and more from life. I'd done everything I was supposed to do. My life was good, but it wasn't good enough. So I spent the following years diving into the Word of God and searching for the biblical principles that would bring me closer to God and help my purpose and life flourish. That's what I want to share with you. In every episode, you'll get practical tools based on real life experiences that you can put into action to redefine your faith and ultimately your life. So, if you're ready to do more, subscribe to More Faith, More Life, and hear an unfiltered biblical truth every week. It's time to be and experience more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another More Faith, More Life podcast. So glad we could be together. I'm Steve Gray. I got my wife, Kathy Gray, together. We're together today, and we're going to talk about basically anything we want to. But, well, guess what we want to? Kathy has brought in a new book that I wrote along with my son-in-law, and it's called Mighty Like Gideon. It's out in the stores. You can get it. But we really want you to get it from us. I'll tell you at the end of this podcast why you should get this book right from us. But anyway, Kathy, you want to talk about it. We've been talking about the book. What's on your mind about the book?
Well, I love it because it does tell the story of Gideon, how mighty he was, but all the principles in it are just related to us, plain old ordinary people. He was a plain old ordinary Israelite hiding out. He thought he was ordinary, but God turned him into something powerful and extraordinary. I like that.
Well, the book starts right where it starts with Gideon, so let's start. Where's the story of Gideon open? Where is he and what's he doing?
Well, he's hiding out. He's hiding out in a wine press, and he's getting a plan from God and strategizing. He's asking for help and rescue, but I tell you what, nothing happens till God comes on the scene.
Okay, so we say he's hiding in the wine press.
Yeah.
We've talked about other people this before, that hiding doesn't necessarily mean you're afraid.
Right.
He might be clever.
Yeah.
In other words, he's winnowing, he's getting grain or whatever, and he's hiding it because he wants to do it. So he's, if you take it that way, he's not hiding because he's a coward, but he's hiding because he's clever. Then you get a whole nother story,
like,
because then the angel of the Lord shows up and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So that's not how you talk to a coward.
Right.
You know, coward, you want to say, "Get with it, buddy," or "Fear not," or whatever.
Pick up your head. Don't be scared.
But that didn't happen,
right.
Did it? No. It was, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So
correct.
Immediately we have an identification of Gideon from God's point of view. Now, we know it turns out not to be Gideon's point of view, and that's why the book is so powerful, and it starts there, is because obviously if we're going to get everything done that God would like us to do with our lives and produce the fruit that we should and all the things that we need to do, we're going to have something going on inside of
right.
us, and a lot of us don't have that view of who we are and what we can do. I talk to people, too. A lot of people never get anything done, Kathy, because they're waiting for something else to happen.
Ooh, that's right.
Now, notice Gideon, he's hiding in the wine press. Of course, we just talked about that doesn't mean he's a coward necessarily. But he doesn't have to do anything else to go do what he's supposed to do. The angel announces to him, yeah, mighty warrior.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And eventually he's going to say, now go and save Israel.
Yeah.
Nothing about his past, nothing about his sins, and nothing about his weakness. Apparently, he is in the shape that God wants him to be in. He just doesn't know he's in that shape.
Yeah, you know, I do that. I'm just like that.
Yeah, people do that all the time. And we've got to get a view of what God says about us. And so, but now that's God's view, and then we see Gideon's view. He said, yeah, but I'm the least in my father's house, and my clan is the weakest. Or is it the other way around? I think it's least and weakest.
Yeah.
But anyway, and he immediately identifies how he sees himself. So he says, so because of that, how can I go save Israel?
Yeah.
And so there we go.
Yeah.
There's the daily battle of all of us of actually creating a Christianity that is self-motivated, self-strength, self-improvement. There's a lot of that. And we call it Christianity because we back it up with Scripture. So I could do the same thing here. I could back this up and say, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And then I could go into another one like, well, he was scared and he didn't see himself and that. And but, you know, God's going to do a new thing in him. God's going to do a new thing. And you hear those sermons all the time.
Yeah.
God wasn't going to do a new thing in him. God wanted to get up exactly the way he was, which is what he's saying to most people, which they won't do because they're waiting. They're looking at themselves saying, I can't, I'm not, I shouldn't. And they never do anything because they're waiting for something new. Where this says, God's the angel of the Lord is saying, go in the strength that you have. You have something. You're just either too afraid, but I don't think so. I think it's just he never put it together that he could do anything.
Yeah, and that's so many people are like that. They immediately disqualify themselves right where they are. But you're saying God sees us right where we are, and he wants us to do something through him with what we have right now. So
look at the misinterpretation that he could have had, too. I probably would have. If God said to me, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, I immediately would do the same thing. Like, how can I do it? I don't see myself as a mighty warrior. Apparently, we have no background of Gideon being a mighty warrior.
Right.
He doesn't say, well, I guess it's time for me to get that rusty sword out now, and I'll shine her up for you, God, and we'll go do it. Because the way God's going to win this, he's not going to be a mighty warrior in the traditional sense. He's going to be a mighty warrior because he does what God tells him to do.
Man.
He does what he can do. Everything
right
God asked him to do to save Israel, he could already do. God did not ask him to do one thing that he could not already do. And that's where so many, like I said, miss it because they see, well, they see the deficiencies or they see them weak or stupid or I don't know.
Or not trained enough or not rich enough.
And so they say, if God would touch me and give me a ministry, a healing ministry, or I could be a prophet if God would just, or I am a prophet and nobody recognizes me, stuff like that, frustrating. So there's where the halt is. We need everybody to be able to do what they can do on the level they can already do it before we graduate to another level.
Yeah.
And so you need to, how scriptural is it, Kathy? Be faithful in little and you'll get more, and then you can be faithful in much. So Gideon, that's exactly what Gideon had to do.
Yeah.
He had to accept the title, first, mighty warrior.
Right.
And then he had to do what God was going to tell him to do next, which was not what you'd expect a mighty warrior to do. You expect the mighty warrior to go cut the king's head off or something, you know, or slay Goliath, you know, with his own sword or something like that. It's not going to happen that way. Now, what I'd like to do, though, is stir up a little more, be a little more disruptive.
Yeah.
Because we usually look, he's hiding, we make him a coward, Gideon, but then mighty warrior. So now he knows he's going to step into that. But not too many people talk about the line, the Lord is with you. And I want to ask, I guess I'll put you on the spot. You don't have to have all the answers. I mean, I'm asking a question for everybody, okay? But if it says, if the angel appears to him, and of course they're in big trouble, Midianites are stealing everything, there's no food, there's famine, there's killings, there's capturings, slavery, it's a mess. And then God says, the Lord is with you. And he goes, well, how can that be? Look what's going on around us, okay? But that's not where I think we should look. I think we should really discover that line, the Lord is with you, okay?
Yes.
Now, if I were to go to anybody else and ask all pastors, churchgoers, is God with everybody?
He's omnipresent.
Obviously.
So he's, you know, he's everywhere, I guess, with everybody, but not necessarily. He's not with the people that are with him.
Well, because it doesn't make sense for the angel of the Lord to say, the Lord is with you, if it's obvious God is with at least his people, the Israelites at the
right.
time. If the Lord is with everybody all the time, then it's a little bit silly to say the Lord is with you. I would say, I know, but he didn't know. Okay, so here's my point. Yes, God is everywhere and God is with everybody all the time, but God, first of all, people throw the scripture says, but God is no respecter of persons.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at it like the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. All men are created equal in God, so we're all equal and we all get treated equal, and God is equally with everybody. That's a mistake.
That is a mistake.
I get it because of our minds here in this country,
yeah.
at least, and some other countries too. We think we enter equal, and in a way we do. We all enter by faith.
Right.
But you see,
yes.
God is no respecter of persons, and by the way, that scripture is not a positive, that's a negative. He's saying when it comes to judgment, God is no respecter of persons. That's what it really
yeah.
says. So if you want to argue,
oh boy,
yay, God's no respecter of persons, you're really saying of my, he's going to judge me too. Okay, so I'd shy away from that.
I would quit saying that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go there, but anyway.
No.
But it is true, God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith.
Amen.
And what was going to, and so that's where everybody starts by faith with Jesus, right?
Yep.
But not everybody right. stays on the level of faith.
Right.
Paul even says
yeah.
some people are weak in the faith.
Right.
Paul says, walk by faith. Yeah. We're called to walk. Some don't.
Exactly.
Some won't, some can't, some are afraid, some are weak.
Yep.
So at that point is when the race really gets interesting, because if Gideon does not step out in faith based on what God said, he's going to be Gideon hiding the rest of his life. Now God will raise up, as we know, Queen Esther was a deliverer, but he says if you don't deliver and do this and go to the king, God will raise up somebody
yeah, he
else
will.
But you'll miss your opportunity.
Right.
I would say most people are missing their opportunities. They have preconceived ideas. I told you, and I was talking to somebody yesterday, we were having with another pastor, one of the difficulties in churches is that idea of new things, new converts, and antsy people and frustrated. So right in front of them, they have a child or two. There's a place, sometimes churches call it a nursery or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's children, diapers need to be changed during church, and there's people parking cars. You know, and it's really hard because all of a sudden people get saved, they get filled with the Spirit, they get excited, and immediately they turn away from spiritual things to humanitarian things,
yeah.
calling it the Spirit. Because traditionally religion has been Christianity
mm-hmm.
has been a humanitarian religion through the Catholics and other religions, and even many of the secular Jews today, I would like to have a spiritual upheaval among the Jews, you know, but they're not opposed. Obviously, they call themselves secular, but they'll help the poor and hand them in. And that's what they feel, humanitarian, which we should be.
Right.
But so many people hear God's trying to make them a Gideon, and they're going to skip what's next because they want to skip out. And next thing you know, they've got Gideon with a soup kitchen or out handing
right.
out tracts, or else down at the park trying to lay hands and get people healed or delivered, or tell them about Jesus or whatever, and going outside. And Gideon was, that's the people, they all of a sudden they're outside, they're attending church, but they got to have a ministry outside, see? Well, there was no inside.
Right.
And so people need to get the inside ministry
mm-hmm.
first, in your church, in your group, mm-hmm. get on that level first, till you go out and try to save the drug addicts.
Right.
And the reason
yes.
I back that up is when God says you're going to save Israel, obviously from the Midianites, right? Well, he didn't go do a warrior thing. He went and did a spiritual thing.
Yes.
In order to become that warrior, he had to pass through the spiritual side and pass the test of it.
Right.
So God, instead of saying, okay, here's your sword, go fight the Midianites and I'm going to get right behind you, God says, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do something very, very spiritual. I want you to go tear down that idol altar of your dad's, your family, the Asherah pole, the Baal god. Tear down your father's religion in order to break free of the bondage of that and build me, the true God, a real altar, an acceptable altar. So that's the mistake people make.
Yes.
they would have Gideon leave the thing, and they'd send him right into the Midianites camp to maybe talk to the poor people or the go pray for the guys who got conked on the head, and you know, so, well, the people need to spend time getting the spiritual altar in their life.
Yes.
Correct. There are things we've learned in religion that need to be broken. There's things that need to be reinforced. These things we always do, some things we never do. But it's hard because people are ready. Immediately they want to go out, do. They want to start teaching our teenagers, and they just say, remember the person, but we'd been in the ministry like 3 months, or a pastor's like 3 months, and one of the guys, a very zealous young guy, I don't even know if he was 30 yet, he was trying to, he'd just been saved and feeling, and he was trying to set up, I'm going to go to my relative's churches and preach. I got to go. And he said, so you help me get her. I want to go preach. And I said, why? You don't know anything. And he just, what? We feel like we can just ad lib it because it's all God. Mm-hmm. But it's not. Gideon had to go through reestablishing his identity from hiding in the wine press to mighty warrior. Mm-hmm. But he had to also establish his identity that we don't want to take for granted. The Lord is with you. Now, God's with everybody. If you want to go there, okay. But it doesn't stay there. There are certain people and certain estimates and times and circumstances where God puts an extra God is with you in there. And we need to find those people if we're not too prideful. Do you know, after everything Joseph, when he was thrown down the well, then he was accused of being with Potiphar's wife, which was a lie. He ends up in prison all those times, but he ends up getting out of prison because he's so, he's such an unusual character that stands out. But then this is what it says. After he got out, then Pharaoh put Joseph, who is not Egyptian, in charge of everything because he saw the Lord was with him.
Wow.
We need those men and women.
Yes, we do, right now.
Sure, God loves us all. He's with us all. But you know that some people are going to choose to go and do what God tells them to do. They're going to become a Gideon, even if you don't feel like you're a Gideon. And you're going to go do the spiritual thing first. Mm-hmm. Then after he did the spiritual thing, then he had to go do the actual, go through the actions. But like I said, as soon as he gets called a mighty warrior, and the only thing he's had in his hand is a rake.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But it doesn't matter. You know why? Because he is going to be a mighty warrior. God is going to use what he can do. And God asked him to do the silly things, right?
Yeah.
I noticed you pulled a scripture out here. You were talking to me about that God often chooses.
Yeah, the foolish things to really shame the wise, and he chooses weak things or weak people. Mm-hmm. The strong people that think they're strong, not in the Lord.
Yeah.
That put them to shame. So thank God there's hope for me.
Well, and Gideon then would have been the perfect person,
right?
Because God saw him as wise and powerful,
right,
and warrior, but he didn't see himself. So he would probably quote that scripture, even though it's New Testament, and say, yeah, how'd you get where you went, Gideon? God chose the weak things, but he wasn't really weak. He was only weak in the way that people see themselves weak.
Yeah.
He didn't see where he was strong. And so when they defeat the Midianites, you know, God asked him, like, he didn't need to be a mighty warrior in fighting. He needed to be a mighty warrior in obedience.
Yes. And in being. Becoming who God is telling him he is
to be.
Through obedience and faith and trust and doing what he could each step at the time.
And the scripture says what? And God chooses the foolish things of the world?
Yeah.
Well, how foolish is it when he says, okay, time to defeat the Midianites? We'll talk another time about how he only did it with 300 and why.
Yeah.
But it was only 300 by the time they got down to 32,000 to 30,000-ish and down to,
that's amazing,
300.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I would have wondered if I was him, is God really with me right now?
And I would also, if all those people were there, so many left, 9,700 were sent away. Do you think there were some mighty warriors among them? Maybe some fighters. Maybe they weren't the best fighters because they got beat by the Midianites all the time. But there were some good fighters in there that were walking away. Because all Gideon had to do was find people that would obey. Didn't have to be the best fighters. So what's he do? He hands out a torch and a jar, trumpet.
Yeah.
And says, shout when I tell you to shout, break the jars, wave the torches, blow the trumpets.
Whoa.
Well, he just sent away 9,700 people, but
yeah.
God doesn't need them to do it because he's going to use the foolish things out of a supposedly weak,
mm-hmm.
who sees himself as weak. All he had to do was what he could do. Can you break a jar? I have a feeling you could blow a trumpet if you had to.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be pretty, but 300 people doing it together would be quite a sight.
Yeah.
The 300 torches and the Midianites turned on each other. It's a great book.
That's powerful. I love the book.
And just even in these moments, Kathy, that we're right here, look how many little jewels popped out about things that people don't think of. Oh, I never thought of that before. I mean, maybe I'm that person. I'm hiding in the wine press waiting for something else to happen. And it did happen. The angels came, but nothing happened in Gideon like we'd expect it to be the mighty warrior. He just had to go be who he was and do what God told him to do.
Do it.
So, you know, Kathy, if they go to stevegrayministries.com, they can get the book, Mighty Like Gideon. I think it's the same price most everywhere, except for very little, like a dollar, something like that. Well, you can hold it up.
All right.
Can you get her on that? Yeah.
There you go.
There's a Mighty Like Gideon. It's a workbook that goes along, and it's like so cheap that you can get it. But you can only get it at Steve Gray Ministries or through J.D. King or I or myself. And get this workbook. So get that.
Yeah.
Go to stevegrayministries.com. It'll come right up. Get it. It's really going to help you. There's a lot of great books out there, but some of them just kind of, Kathy, just repeat. No surprises.
Right.
This got a lot of surprises that you'll go, that is something I needed to hear.
Yeah.
All right? So tell your people about More Faith, More Life. Subscribe, follow, become friendly to us.
Yeah.
Send us a note of encouragement, whatever, but get the book. Mighty Like Gideon. Until next time, bye-bye.